Now, it's not often that writers' very names become adjectives, but that doesn't mean they or their books don't have a lasting impact. As we look back on the year coming to a close, we've asked a variety of prominent people if there was a book that helped them shape their way of looking at the world. We started off with travel writer and novelist Pico Iyer.
The book that's really been my steady companion for 35 years now is Henry David Thoreau's Walden. I used to live in Boston and first read Emerson and Thoreau in the very streets which they had walked. And I think for somebody who is of Indian descent and born and grew up in the New World and in some ways divided between many continents, Thoreau's notion of finding a home inside yourself has always deeply affected me, to the point where I now live in my own little homemade Walden in rural Japan, where I have no bicycle, no car. I'm in a two-room apartment, no television I can understand, no printer, no cell phone, and no World Wide Web. And really all I do is what he did, which is read, write, and take walks. And I think three or four of my books so far have taken an epigraph from Walden, including this most recent book, The Open Road, about the Dalai Lama, where I realized that the deeper I traveled into the Dalai Lama's thinking, the more I was coming back to Thoreau and Emerson. And I think one of the beauties often forgotten of Thoreau and Emerson was that they brought the finest fruits of Eastern thinking from the Bhagavad Gita and from Buddhist tradition into the New World diction and vernacular.
Can you just describe what those thoughts are that are common in both?
I think they have to do with reflectiveness and meditation. In some ways, you could say Thoreau was the first great Western meditator. And in fact, he oversaw the first translation of a Buddhist sutra into English or American in 1844, which appeared in the Dial. So they were very consciously creating a notion of global citizenship, I suppose, drawing from Persia, India, China, and Tibet, and bringing them into this new country, America, which could then and still could be a place where all these cultures flow together and make something dramatically new and exciting.
That's writer and traveler Pico Iyer. Next, a book that helped shape the expansive outlook of an astronaut who 40 years ago today was part of the first crew to orbit the moon.
This is Bill Anders. I was the so-called lunar module pilot on Apollo 8, first flight to leave the Earth and travel to another body in the solar system about 40 years ago, Christmas 1968. And one of my favorite authors is John McPhee, who writes on geology, and particularly as it relates to the macro forces shaping the Earth, the continental drift and so forth. And one of his many books that I found particularly interesting and got me hooked on this hobby of geology is a book called Assembling California. John McPhee puts together a geologic timeline which goes back hundreds of millions of years and lays out how this beautiful palm tree-studded state actually came to be.
That's Apollo 8 astronaut Bill Anders. By the way, he took the iconic photograph of the Earth rising over the moon that became a symbol for the modern environmental movement. You can see it on our website. Ian Douglas Hamilton has dedicated his life to a particular part of the environmental movement in Africa. He's the founder of the group Save the Elephants. We asked him if there was an influential book in his life.
Well, there is one book that had a formative influence on me that I read in my teens, and it was called The Roots of Heaven. And it was a story about a French colonial outpost where there were elephants in Chad. And there was a man who had been in a concentration camp, and now he was liberated, and he wanted to prevent elephants from being hunted. So he went over to the elephant side. It's an extraordinary story written by Romain Gary. And he took a campaign to try to get people to sign his petition to stop all elephant hunting. And when they wouldn't do it, he eventually became a gorilla and went off into the bush. There's some very beautiful language, because for Romain Gary, the elephants were everything that was wild and beautiful and free and anachronistic in life, with a philosophical slant to it that, you know, maybe freedom was an anachronism in these days. So it was a lovely book, and it did influence me.
Zoologist and elephant conservationist Ian Douglas Hamilton recommending The Roots of Heaven by Romain Gary. Next, we go to a man whose life's work is focused on a different continent.
My name is Harley Shaken, and I'm a professor at the University of California, Berkeley, specializing on labor and globalization, and I'm also the chair of the Center for Latin American Studies. And I'd have to say John Womack's biography of Zapata, now more than three decades old, is a book that influenced me, having read it many years ago. It's about Emiliano Zapata, the hero of the Mexican Revolution. It's about the Mexican Revolution, and it's about all the social issues, land and freedom, that led into that major upheaval in Mexico at the turn of the 20th century. Many of the problems that caused the upsurge in Mexico in 1910, a civil war that cost a million lives and lasted a decade, are still with us. We're still wrestling with the issues of inequality and poverty that fueled to such an important degree the Mexican Revolution itself.
Harley Shaken there talking about the influence John Womack's biography Zapata and the Mexican Revolution had on Shaken's own work as a specialist on labor and globalization. We asked Canadian author, just out with her debut, a Canadian author, about a book that she found particularly meaningful.
I'm Padma Viswanathan, author of The Toss of a Lemon. And the book I'd like to recommend is Karen Connolly's The Lizard Cage, a book set largely in a Burmese prison and about a friendship, a very unlikely friendship, between a prisoner and an orphan who both managed to find a sort of freedom within the oppressive walls of this prison. The book is beautiful and unexpected and brutal in parts, and yet manages to transcend that brutality. It also talks about Buddhism in a way that I don't think I've ever read in literature, and about dreams, and about politics, about contemporary politics, in a way that I think is absolutely essential.
That's Canadian novelist Padma Viswanathan recommending Karen Connolly's The Lizard Cage. Finally, from the absolutely essential to the impossible.
To try when your arms are too weary.
Renowned tenor Plácido Domingo recorded the theme to Man of La Mancha in 1996. When we asked him if there was a formative book in his life, he hearkened back to that man, Don Quixote.
Well, I think as a Spanish person, I think that what Cervantes did writing the Don Quixote de La Mancha is magnificent, because he's this dreamer, this completely unafraid of anything, you know, having these fights with the windmills, you know, and I think this is so, it touched you so much. It touched you so much. Then in life, of course, you have to be a little more prudent than he was, you know, but you have to go through life, and you have to have sometimes, or many times, the head in the clouds, but be sure that you have the feet on earth. But the dreams of Don Quixote, I think we all want to be a Quixote, for sure.
Spanish tenor Plácido Domingo. You can review the entire list of books recommended by our guests. Just go to theworld.org.